All right, folks, welcome back to Mountain West Wire podcast, MWR.com. I did not say a sports specific podcast because you know, Snickers in the background already, it's coming. People are like, well, what's going on? Or maybe that was a bump of the mic. I apologize to our guest we have hanging out here. Not football, not basketball. It is March. It's almost March. By the time we hear this, it'll be, well, I guess today's February 27th, guys, but we're talking. The website, if you're familiar with, marchexodus.com, with a letter X, about random music in bracket form, because going by Matt and Brandon as well, music and brackets this time of year is what everybody talks about. And we're doing this again for a long time. It's been a minute since we've done it. Well, sorry, we've done this for a while. So I don't know how many years. Do you guys remember when we started doing this just because of screwing around, have some fun, almost since it started?
It's been several years.
Pretty much.
I don't know if it was from the first year that they did it. It's been a few years at least.
As in at least 2016, 2017.
Something like that.
Before I first got it. Yeah.
And I do recall there was a lost episode I screwed up on. So I don't remember what year that was, but whatever.
It happens.
Which way. But it's all right.
So let's start with Matt here. So we did this once a year. So if you're expecting football, basketball, we got your download if you're listening now, so cool. We're okay with that.
It'll be all right.
Keep listening. It'll be interesting. It's fun.
Spring football will be on in a few weeks, so just chill.
Hey, Lobo's got their spring game in like a week and a half, so they're almost done with spring football.
That's true.
They need all the help they can get. Anyway.
Exactly. You're not wrong. Hey, Nevada's not in great shape either, just saying.
No, they're not. No, they're not.
We'll be discussing the Wolfpack at a later date. But I'll let Matt take over for a moment because he brought this to our attention a while back. So explain to people what March Exodus is, because it's more than just music and bracket. There's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah, so the short explanation is basically the cross-section of two of my favorite things, which is music of all kinds of different genres and creative nonfiction. For longtime listeners of the podcast, you probably already know that, you know, I went to grad school for, you know, creative writing and things like that. And so this tournament came about as a collaboration between, you know, two writers down in Arizona, who are sort of colloquially known as the committee. You know, they come up with the list of songs from year to year. So they started doing this as sort of a way for writers to be able to focus in on certain songs, get really weird with it and things like that. And so that includes writers like, you know, like Stephen Church, for example, who when I was in grad school, he was my MFA chair. He's published, you know, several books and things like that. So, you know, people who are involved in the world of writing, basically just, you know, finding whatever they want to in a given era's music. And so what you have this year in this iteration of March at Exodus is March Madness, with a specific focus on 80s one-hit wonders.
With the caveat, we should mention, as you mentioned before, excluding songs that have appeared before in tournaments, because there has been other 80s genres. I don't know the exact ones off the top of my head, but there's been other 80s iterations of the bracket.
Yeah, so the only other two qualifications for the songs in this tournament is that it's the only song by any artist to hit the top 40 of the Billboard Hot 100 and charted sometime during the 1980s. So you can go to the website, which again is marchexness.com, and you can find, they have a list of, like, the long list of every single eligible song. There are 274 songs to choose from. And, you know, some of the songs that didn't get picked for this, like, you know, for those of you, so those of our older listeners out there may remember, like, when Bruce Willis, the actor, had a singing career for a short time. One of his songs is on there. I saw Pass the Dutchie on there. So, like, you get a sense of, like, just how much strange music that people were really, really into 30, 35 years or 40 years ago, give or take.
Hey, watch it there.
I know. Hey, we're all the same age group. It's okay. Basically, for the couple years. Oh. I would say this: stuff that made the bracket, if what didn't make was not as good, there are multiple instrumentals and multiple television theme songs that made the list of 64 songs.
Don't forget,
what you call those? Charity songs.
Yes. That was
Cheap
a very
charity
big thing
song.
about it.
Very
big
And a
thing.
video game song.
Yes.
So maybe that's a good
Bad
way
one, but
to start the
nonetheless.
conversation. It's just a, when you think about the term 80s music, what comes to mind?
Depeche Mode, but they're good. Stuff like that. Synthesizers.
Yeah.
Big Hair. Durant.
Obviously.
A-ha's Take On Me, which listeners, if you're looking for that, sorry, that was probably 2017. And yeah, synthesizers, Big Hair, New Coke,
New Coke. Oh my gosh.
And that's, I think, what
Saturday
really
morning
makes this,
cartoons,
Atari,
Nintendo.
this bracket is really sort of it's sort of evidence that there was a lot more going on than just that. I think,
Totally.
when you
Oh
really
yeah.
look at the entire decade, and I think, in addition to sort of the strange stuff, the fad type stuff that popped up now and then, which, yeah, I think it's that's true of every era. I think if they were going to do this, same thing for like the 2010s, like Gangnam Style or something, would probably be on there at
Oh
some
boy.
point.
Oh
But
yeah.
then you realize that there's like undercurrents of other things that were happening at the time. So like if you look at the early part of that decade, for instance, you realize, oh yeah, that's when like rap started really coming to the forefront. And that's where you get songs like, the Sugar Hill Gang with Rapper's Delight and other things along those lines. And then you have, later in the decade, like you mentioned, Jeremy, a lot of synthesizer type stuff, stuff from a lot of different soundtracks. And so when you get this big picture, when you take a step back and try and get the 30,000 foot view of it, it's sort of like, yeah, there was a lot of weird stuff going on. But when you look at this bracket, and correct me if I'm wrong, like there's a lot of stuff that very obviously doesn't hold up very well and is definitely an era of its time, or a product of its
Yes.
time rather. But I
Oh
would
yeah.
also say, I would also contend that there are a number of other songs that are similarly a product of that era, but that absolutely bang and can go all the way in this tournament.
Like
So you're
Chariots of
Fire?
saying it's dated, but in a good way.
There's, yeah, like
Dated in a good way. Like something
there's a
like.
certain quality to songs of the era, like certain, not every song, but certain
Right. Yep.
songs.
Soft Cell's Tainted Love.
Yes. Yeah,
Off
songs
listen,
like that
guys.
where it's like it seems like a more wide open field than I can remember us discussing in past years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And just like you said, Soft Cell's Tainted Love.
It's a good one, yeah.
Come On, Eileen, Dexy's Midnight Runners. Those are very much 1980s, except for, Dexy's doesn't have the synthesizers. But yeah, very much in that 1980s time period. And, and I think we talked about this before we started. I'm surprised they went back and pulled some ones that I'm surprised they know what it knew what it was. And I'm kind of pulling for those. We'll get to those in a moment. But just very much of its time, some oddities, and yeah, once then one song I'm not gonna like very much. Jeremy, I know we're probably gonna get to those songs we don't like
Well, definitely.
on
Yeah.
there. Oh, so.
Here's one interesting matchup. Like I pull up right now, so I'm looking through the bracket. Mentioned Sugar Hill Gang, sorry, Rapper's Delight. That's a quirky, people know the song. But then you tell the difference, like here, like people know this, like little disco kind of moving to rap, barely, right? Like you hear this interesting stuff. But then it goes with freaking the complete difference of Luft Balloon, don't you, is that the exact title of it? This guy?
Yeah, 99 Luftballons.
I
That's
love the
the
balloons.
German version of that song.
Yeah,
Oh,
very good
the German
song.
version bangs.
Yes,
I actually,
like
I heard the English version this weekend. It's like, nah, we just give it stick to the German one where, I don't know
yeah,
what they're saying, but I heard the
yeah.
English version. It's like, man, get this
It's hard.
off.
So it's like those are co two completely very end of the spectrum type of songs going, and those two, and they're going up against each other. I'm like, how do I pick? Because do you pick one that's kind of like Sugar Hill Gang's kind of culturally relevant, or is culturally relevant for a bit for getting that stuff going? That type of genre started the very, very beginning before it evolved into, let's be real, better stuff in rap and R&B and stuff like that, kind of getting out there. But like, whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's kind of in there, but then you have, it gets this song. I'm like, well, do you pick the song that sounds good to you? Because it's all subjective. We saw, was it Matt and Brandon? Natalie and Brulia won a 16 seed a couple years ago. It's like,
yeah,
people know the song. Not a terrible song, but to win the whole thing, not shocking.
16 seeds have won the tournament multiple times, most recently 2 years ago when Local H pulled it out against over another 16 seed Kings X in the March Plaidness tournament. And that's really, you know, I think a really good way of reminding our listeners, if they want to fill out a bracket, that, you know, just because a song charts high, and that's really where, you know, the seeding for this bracket comes from, it's by their highest position on the top, on the Billboard Hot 100 Top 40. So even last year, you know, there were 2 4 seeds and 1 5 seed that made it to the final four. And even that seemed like an aberration compared to most years, where it's really hard for those high charting songs with those high seeds to go the distance. Like, it doesn't happen that often.
It's just called a bad music year if they're seated that high.
Yeah.
And they're not good.
We're just going to get into it. Matt, you mentioned the one, the highest charting, highest, you know, the seeding is based off the highest charting songs.
Yes.
So I'm going to just come out and say it. On the bottom left bracket, I have It Takes Two, Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock going all the way to the, basically all the way to the final four. I'm calling my shot.
Wait. You're not going Pac-Man Fever to the bottom left to go far?
Nah, it's so terrible. It's so bad.
No, that's a very good song. Like, that's a good dance song. You know what I mean? Like, people love that song.
Let me see. I'm pulling up the bracket. I just wanted to see where is Pac-Man Fever, so I know what
bottom
I
left.
Yeah, it. Pac-Man Fever. Left. Where is it?
I see it. I have Timbuktu3 winning. And that's a song I'm not necessarily in love with, but it's not Pac-Man Fever. also, can I probably throw a theory out? I feel like the reason why I have It Takes Two going far is, I just had a feeling when you gave me the bracket this weekend, I feel like we're going to go toward, people are going to gravitate toward songs that are very much, you know, a part of the zeitgeist, you know, because we've been celebrating the 80s for like 20 years now. and try to steer clear of, you know, I guess the quote unquote overplayed songs. Even though some of those songs still knock, like if you're a fan, Tony Basil and Mickey, yeah, the chant, oh, Mickey, you're so fine. Yeah. You're so fine, you blow my mind. That, you know, could go far. Maybe that does hold up. But I mean, that was the reason why, you know, but DJ Rock, but It Takes Two.
Yeah.
People know that, you know, it holds up,
like,
you know.
Pump Up the Volume, Tainted Love, people know those songs. Or
right.
If you're of a certain age, the I'll call it the George Costanza song, American Hero. Is that what it's called? Right? Is that the official title of it?
Believe It or Not. Believe it or not, theme from America's Greatest Hero.
Believe It or Not. Like, that might go far just because of that.
And Jeremy, we kind of talked on this just before. That was we kind of talked before we started. The 1 year, I think it was 2005, 2006, where they had the NCAA tournament, the men's selection committee had the bright idea, because they hate mid-majors. Let's pit two mid-major teams together. Let's put Nevada against Montana, 2 25 women teams, or it was Western Kentucky, one of those years. Just because you know, we don't like mid-major teams, because we couldn't get a 19 win Stanford Syracuse team in.
Yeah, you're right. 7-9 Syracuse is always the mix.
Exactly.
conference play.
I say that to say the Joey Scarborough, which is just a great song. I love that song. Goes up against Tom Tom Club's Genius of Love, and that's just, Matt, like you said, it's very 80s, it's very dated, but it's great, and that song you can hear influence everything going forward. Like if you're a
Oh,
fan
yeah.
of Mariah Carey's Fantasy album from 1995, that's the sample from it. Grandmaster Flash. It's just a great song. And, you know, two people from the Talking Heads. You think Talking Heads, you think, you know, David Byrne in a big suit. But you know, the bass player and the drummer gave us an early 80s jam. And that's going up against Greatest American Hero theme, which I just no.
Depends how you're voting. Like, do you
And by
want it
the
to
way,
be?
Brandon, that Nevada Montana poll that you had is all the way back in 2006. Oof.
Oh. See, but
That's tough because I hate it when they do that. It's like, oh, let's put Creighton versus Central Florida or some team, whatever random teams, or Valpo versus Butler, or let's put UC Irvine and Boise State, something like that. Or it's like they don't want mid-majors to keep winning. It's like, I want to see, yes. Your number, it's like, or Wichita State and Kentucky. Weren't they undefeated a couple years ago, Wichita State, and they got like an eight seed or something? And I'm like, no, I want to see them play. Yeah, give me crappy Syracuse. Watch them get the doors blown off them when they're like a 10 seed versus 7 seed Richmond or something. Like, I want to see that. I don't want to see Richmond play Bucknell in the first round, at least. I want to see them beat up a named team just because they won't, because you've matched. It's like the Boise State TCU Fiesta Bowl years ago. It's like, what are you doing? They want to put those teams just so, you got your shot, but you're not really getting a name opponent, despite that those two opponents being those teams really, really good.
Oh, I'm so ready for a 19-12 Syracuse team as a 10 seed to make it to the Elite Eight. Who's with me, everybody?
So Boham can so Boham can get pissy
Again?
at a student reporter, ask a legit question.
Not here for Jim Boeheim. Anyway, moving on.
Here's Genius of Love, if you're wondering, because I tried to find it. It was on the original playlist. It's good. Look at
Let's see, it cooks, don't it? It
that.
it's yes.
That's what I'm
Yes,
saying.
yes,
There's
yes.
a lot of songs like that.
And like that particular that matchup. I think I had another one written down. I know a lot of folks, you talked about Pump Up the Volume. Great song, by the way. But if people don't know it, and again, this is pulling this great to thanks to congrats to the committee for pulling this one out. Skritti Politti's Perfect Way. It yep, folks. 99, most of these listeners probably never even heard of these dudes, but that song, I had a hard time choosing that one. It's just a great song. And then I think you had, oh, The Rain versus Beds Are Burning, Midnight Oil, classic. Orange Juice Jones, which probably I think has the greatest skit towards like it's a Orange Juice Jones, The Rain. It was his only hit. Great song. Another one that sort of influenced everything after it. That I think it's a 3, maybe 4 minute song. But the maybe last 90 seconds, 2 minutes of it, the skit of it, or whatever it is, comedy. Beautiful. It's beautiful. But they're going up against each other. It's like 2006 all over again in the men's tournament.
Man, I have a question. Didn't Rush have more
Okay.
than one good song in the 80s?
You know what? I had to go back and think and look at, okay, when did their albums come out? Because I know like 2112 came out in the late 70s, right?
I
I
don't
believe
recall the
so.
years, but they're a band. I'm like, wait, they're reasonably popular. They have a following. This seems
Oh,
interesting to
yeah.
hear.
I mean, yeah, Rush has been around for like, they were around for 50 years until Neil Peart passed away. Yeah, to Fly By Night, 2112, those were all 70s, and then in the 80s they had Moving Pictures, I think was
It was a
their
big
I
one.
mean, yeah, they had what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different albums come out during the 80s.
And that's the only song that charted that high,
That's the only
like
song that charted at least that high, apparently.
interesting.
I wonder because Rush and I think somebody else, another one of those artists that Frank Zappa was another one that
Yeah.
just, you know, hey,
Valley Girl, this one.
I got this massive following with all these albums, and you know, they only had one hit, or one pop hit anyway.
In that
It's
decade,
like,
yeah.
yeah, and
Yeah,
right in that decade,
I
you're
just
like,
went and I lo I just went
Don't
and
feel
looked it
bad
up
at
on
that.
Wikipedia because I was curious. But yeah, in terms of like, mainstream, and again, it's not using the same criteria as what the committee is using. But yeah, what they count as like US main is like, mainstream rock tracks. And sure enough, Limelight was like, number four. New World Man was a number one hit in 1982.
That's interesting for Fringe Out. Here is it.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
It doesn't even sound too 80s either, you know what I mean?
It sounds very Rush-like, to be honest.
So, never mind.
Well, I just, like, they sound so different. Like, slow songs, like, that song could have been maybe even, I'm not sure what year it came out, but kind of a 90s song that feels like a little bit to it for what people were doing at that time.
There's I mean, as somebody who listens to the entirety of like Presto, I would agree with that sentiment.
See, it's because 80s is also like they're like, oh, every time is weird music. But if you think about it, I know every time we're like, you mentioned 2010s, like trying to think about what really came out, that's some weird stuff. Because at that time, you still have Foo Fighters making music, Blink-182, you have the Gangnam Style, you have random, a lot more R&B type stuff coming out. That's, was Pitbull 2010s technically? Is that what you want to consider him? I don't know. Or you have Drake, is he 2010s? Those type of guys, is that considered 2010s?
Late 2000s, 2010s, yeah.
I'm trying to think. But like, the difference in
Pitbull,
80s is like...
Pitbull was, I don't mean to cut you off real quick. Pitbull was started to get going when I was in college. 20 years ago.
Okay, that's a bit quiet. I knew it was about, I just remember the Dr. Pepper commercials. That's probably where it's later after he's, how can I make more money in songs that are still pretty good? I was trying to think, but the time of the 80s, because a lot of 70s, it's some disco and 80s and rock, a lot more tempo rock in the 70s a bit. There was nothing like too much punk a little bit, but not, it's like way, you had to go search to find that type of stuff. The 80s has, let's try whatever the heck we want. Like, didn't Nirvana initially come out like in 89 or something? Like when they first started, like late 80s?
I really got to start in the late 80s.
Yeah, probably got pop was like 91 with Nevermind, I think it was, whichever, in Utero, one of the first, I forgot the first one in order. But look at the difference. You have Madonna doing 80s. So not in this list, but think of what she's done. Look at like Sugar Hill Gang, look at the Rush. You have Zappa, it's a weird song. You have, we mentioned Bruce Willis before. You have all these things. You have Tainted Love, great song. You have kind of the emergence of hip hop. There's not really many rock songs in this whole thing, if I recall. Are there any, nothing like?
Not a lot, no.
No, because we did hair bands,
you
right?
Really
that was more of our
really
70s,
have to
though, right?
Stretch the definition, yeah.
Well, yeah. You'll, I think in terms of rock, you got the Georgia Satellites, Keep Your Hands to Yourself. Another song I heard this weekend. Jim Steinman's Rock and Roll Dreams Come True, which is basically like a Meatloaf song that Meatloaf never did. a lot of those in those 80s, like Total Eclipse of the Heart.
That's what we did for song? The
you know, a lot of that.
One, whatever it was, right?
Right. Big Country, if you want to classify them as, I would classify them as rock. You know, who are we getting to? Then you get it, then you're right. Oh, hey, forgot about Grateful Dead. That's about as rock as it gets. You know, so you get a lot of, you know, like you said, Jared, rock is there, but it's sort of not as omnipresent as if we were doing, like, say, or 70s one hit wonders.
Yeah, or if you think of it, as one hit one, I was gonna say there's popular stuff in the 80s that was rock, but like Aerosmith is around there, kind of rock essentially. I'd close enough to that genre a little bit here and there. Eventually, I mean, like, they have guitars, Steven Tyler and all those guys, they have guitars and do stuff. But yeah, if you think about the one hit wonders are the songs that are kind of just is weird, the best way to put it.
Right.
So we got this, obviously. We know this, right? Like, it's weird. Funky Town. It's like, what is that? They playing the xylophone there? What's going on?
Oh, the disco song. Lip Sync. That's last disco's basically last gasp.
Yeah. Exactly. So it's so weird. Some of the, like, I'll mention again, Gangnam Style. It's so weird it's popular. Like, the stupid Barbie song, like, it's so annoying and crap, and people, it's just because it's catchy, and it's like the commercial of the Super Bowl, the triangle thing. That was a weird thing. Like, okay, that's a thing they're doing. And so I think if we look at what's charted, it's just because you chart doesn't mean you're a good song. I'll stand by that. There's a lot of songs that aren't very good that they chart for whatever reason. And there's a million different reasons why I'd say they'd be charted, whether the music's used on Instagram or TikTok, and that's how they can chart. Like, oh, listen to this or that. Just because it charts, usually because if it's a one-hit wonder, it's because either it could be really, really, really good. Like Blind Melon's one song's really, really good. That's all they have. That's really good. But then there's other stuff that's one hit wonder that's just so weird that people, for some reason, it surrounded something in a certain month or time of year that, hey, we all like this song for a good month and never heard from again.
Taco's putting it on the Ritz.
That is totally, like, was it Coco Cabana or something? I'm like, what am I listening to? That's not the song. Like, that's a reasonably catchy song, but I'm like, what do you, that's like on the playlist Matt sent me. That's like the fourth song on the list. Like, I'll play it for people, but it's totally not Coco Cabana, the Constantinople, that's where that sounds just like that, right? Try to pull it up here, but
a Glenn Miller song with 80 synthesizers that we talked about.
Crazy.
And it's not terrible.
No.
It's not good. It's not you know, I mean, it's like, it's a, okay, I'll listen to this once.
It's no, you know, Easy Lover by Philip Bailey and Philip Collins, but you know, I heard that.
Background. I have a very soft spot for that song. When I was talking earlier about songs that are definitely products of its time, but absolutely still go hard, like, that was at the very top of my list. And if you just go and listen to, like, the first 20 seconds, you'll understand what I'm talking about. And I wonder how much of that is the Phil Collins influence, because, you know, it seems like at least once every other month, people randomly talk about, like, the Tarzan soundtrack on social media, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And that's because Phil Collins is a master.
That's good stuff.
Phil Collins, great drummer, great producer. Philip Bailey, great voice.
Yes.
Like, if you listen to the Earth, Wind, Fire, just go listen, listeners, go listen, if you don't already, just go listen to Reasons, and I hate that song. but it's his voice, the song, and everything is great. The reason I don't like it is because people say it's a love song, and this is where people don't read the lyrics. Read the lyrics. It's not,
it's
that,
like,
but
a his song, isn't it?
It's more like a one night stand song. Philip Bailey, the drumming and both of their voices, because, you know, Phil Collins sang too. I probably doesn't get enough credit, I feel, as a vocalist, as opposed to everything else. But yeah, Easy Lover, just it goes. We'll listen to that when I get home.
What's the Tarzan one? It's the Into the Heart. Oh, what's it called?
You'll be in my heart, right?
You'll be in my heart. Yeah. It's a crazy good singer. It's like, come on, listen to that. It's like, huh. What's wrong with you people? You may not like the song, but you can appreciate how well somebody can sing.
And not every Phil Collins song rocks like Easy Lover, but
no,
I appreciate, you know, the voice and everything. Like,
exactly.
Try something different. Why not?
And, you know, all due respect to Frank Zappa, but, you know, and Gary Newman's Cars, another, you know, great song, I feel. I got Easy Lover at least going to the Elite Eight.
There it is. Cars. Gary Newman.
So we've mentioned three of the one seeds so far. So we've mentioned Dexy's Midnight Runners. With the
I was about to bring up another one, but go for it, Matt. Do it.
Which one?
Tony Basil. We've mentioned We Are the World. Yeah, USA.
Barely.
The one we haven't mentioned, I think, and so I want to pose two questions to the group here. The fourth one that we haven't mentioned yet, you know, Bill Medley, I've Had the Time of My Life from the Dirty Dancing soundtrack.
That's good.
So my first question is, one of those songs is 100% fraudulent. Are we in agreement?
As a We Are the World, right?
Yes. We Are the World.
That's correct.
Okay.
Totally. It's not a band. It's not a band.
It's like the Band-Aid, folks.
Yeah.
It's a compilation.
Mm.
Okay. So
there's no way that. Plus, also, that song's not very good. Come on.
Which one?
We Are the World.
Okay. I was going to say, well, but do they know it's Christmas? Tonight, thank God it's them instead of you. I know where they were going, but, you know, the lyrics to that is, you know. Tonight, thank God it's them instead of you. I'm sorry, Matt. Go ahead.
No, it's all right. So of those four songs, which of them do you think has the clearest path to a deep run in this tournament?
I've Had the Time of My Life.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you what doesn't is...
USA for Africa.
Well, hold on. No, number one, Come On, Midnight Runner. That might lose to Pump Up the Volume in round two.
I had Come On, Eileen going to the Sweet 16 because it'll beat the Emmylou Harris song. I have it beating. I have Scritti Politti winning. Just special, you know, my heart. I just like the Scritti Politti song. But I have Come On, Eileen going to the Sweet 16, getting bounced by Tainted Love. I feel Tainted Love is going far.
Me too. Like both of those first, the second, and third round, those are very difficult for them. Yeah. I've changed love going because it's been done so many times, but it's always great. I can listen to any version, and it's good. It's essentially. Right.
But I would say, to answer your question, Matt, that, and, you know, tying this all to everything, I think I was watching, you know, on my TVs and something, doing, you know, scrolling through, waiting for the Nevada game to play, or the Wolfpack game to play, you know, for them to play with Wyoming in the men's game. On TV, I saw Dirty Dancing was on, and the first thing that clipped to mind was the soundtrack. You know what also I was thinking about? The end. What did they play on the end? Bill Medley and Jennifer Warren's I've Had the Time of My Life, which, you know, it goes. I mean, it goes. Everybody likes it.
I think that I would definitely agree with your assessment that song has a pretty clear path. Because I think most of the trouble in that corner of the bracket, the top right bracket, is not on much. The lower end right there. You know, so we wouldn't have to face Easy Lover, for example, until that Elite Eight matchup or a song like Cars. Or Funky Town or whoever ends up emerging from that bracket. Mm-hmm. But you know, right off the bat though, I was listening to Stone Cold. I was like, I feel like I should know this song. And then it hit me. I was like, I haven't heard that song in like 30 years or something like that. You know, Rainbow Stone Cold with Ritchie Blackmore on the lead vocals.
Wow.
That song, under any other circumstance, I would have been sorely tempted to take it.
And, you know, when I made my picks on the bracket, and I think you got, and I don't know if you guys did this as well. I split the pumpkin, meaning I went with songs, I advanced songs that in my heart I want to win, like the Scritti Politti song. Mm-hmm. I know it's the umpteenth time I brought it up, but still, it's a good song.
It's all good. Definitely.
EU's The Butt, which I know it charted very low. It did go top 40. I think maybe 35 or something, 31 or something. But you know, it was on the soundtrack to Spike Lee's School Days. I kind of went with those songs that I wanted to win, just my own heart of hearts.
That's how you vote, man. What, how else are you going to vote?
Yeah, right, right. But also, I went with, okay, I got to think in my mind. I also got to do the calculus in my mind that not everybody's going to know EU, who the heck EU is, or Skirty Politti. So let me just do it this way. So that's why I have the time of my life going to the Final Four. Tainted Love making the deep run. It Takes Two, because I figure that might be more niche. But then again, I have Georgia Satellites making it to the Elite Eight. And then also, you know, that just sort of split the pumpkin sort of that way, because also, you know, my own personal preference, and also, you know, you actually want to win too, you know, so you kind of treat this like if you make a bracket, you know, the men's and women's brackets, you know, you kind of have to like, all right, I know I want my team to win it, go all the way, but I still want to win. So that's why, you know, answer your question, man, I have it going all the way to the Final Four, you know. I don't know the three picks later.
Can I make a bold statement here?
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Real quick. Bottom right bracket is garbage. Is that anybody disagree? I don't think it's that great.
There's some songs.
I was going to ask at some point what we feel is the region of death in this bracket.
Not the bottom right.
Not bottom right. Because as much as I like Scandal's The Warrior, So Alive, I like Touch of Grey just as some, not as some, you know, oh yeah, Grateful Dead, they got a hit, good for them. you know, Sugar Hill Gang, but then again, what I just talked about a few moments ago, I kind of want Sugar Hill Gang to win, but I figured people want the 99 Luft Balloons Keech.
That's a tough matchup. That's a very difficult.
That is a hard matchup. I might change it. But then we, and Talk, It's My Life. That version's great. The No Doubt version, yeah, I could take it or leave it. But yeah, you're right. It's not a great side of the bracket, because
There's like four good songs in my opinion over there. And two of them are in the first round.
I would go so far as to contend that like two of the top five songs that like are in another matchup in that first round. Like Jeremy, you mentioned, what was it that you said you felt was like the toughest individual first round matchup? There was it that Nina versus Sugar Hill Gang.
That's where I'm looking at. Yeah, bottom right. Yeah.
Okay, because I'm looking at that 3-4 team matchup between Talk and okay, Patrick Swayze. Yeah. Featuring Wendy Fraser, She's Like the Wind.
I can't take Patrick. Come on. No, Patrick. It's like Bruce Willis in there. Come on. No.
Again. Oh, it is entirely a product of its time.
It totally is.
But the more I listened to it, the more I reassessed it, I kind of feel like I have to defend that song a little bit, because I feel like it goes.
You have the floor. Matt.
Here we go.
You're not wrong. Not wrong. I think I heard it a couple of weeks ago on some 80s channel. It's like, hey, this song does kind of go.
It's totally
80s. Like, it's very saccharine, right?
I think I might like that more than I Have the Time of My Life, and that might be a bit of a hot take, but you know, they're not using She's Like the Wind to promote Sandals, you know, beach resorts.
So going back to Jeremy's point, I wouldn't disagree that the region as a whole is soft, but I would say that the bottom half of that bracket in particular, there's going to be fist fights everywhere, because we also haven't even mentioned Frankie Goes to Hollywood yet.
Yeah, but see, that's a good song too. It's like, that's, yeah, that, that, that yeah, okay.
It's,
you're right,
it's,
there are, right. There's some tough ones, but overall, like the top half, I'm like, no, throw it out of here. Like, I don't even care the top half. I'm like, pick whoever. No, all these songs are terrible. No.
Not like, even Scandal Warrior. The Warrior? No.
Yeah, I had a winning the first one.
Shooting at the walls of heartache, Jeremy. Bang.
One out of eight. Come on, man. If you give me 12.5%, you gotta give me more than that.
All right.
So okay, I'm gonna give
you one.
You're
in the bottom half.
I'm going to give you one to watch on the top half of that that part of the bracket, though.
Yeah.
That song, The Promise, from When in Rome.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, you know, there are a lot of sort of 80s, what you might call, I guess it would count as like a power ballad of some kind, or like a new wave ballad of some sorts. And there aren't that many of those on the bracket, I don't think.
I just played one, Patrick Swayze. Come on.
Right. Yeah. I think, well, Talk, but that's a little more up tempo. And then you have Frankie and then Nina.
This is the song in every movie.
That song in particular, because it's, you know, I was thinking to myself, well, I don't like Where Are the World's Chances to advance very deep. Yeah. I feel like that leaves an opening for a song like The Promise, which is a very 80s song, very saccharine, much like Patrick Swayze, much like, you know, a couple of other songs you mentioned.
I have it going, the Promise. I have that making a deep run. I have it beating the stupid Major Tom song. I can't stand that song. Every time I hear it, it makes me want to go listen to David Bowie's Space Oddity. Save me the 3 minutes. I have it winning that one. I have it beating We Are the World, and I have it going far. I would say, you're saying it's the bottom right back bracket is a trash bracket. Of all the brackets, it's the least great. You know, it's the least, you know.
As you guys are discussing a couple other songs, like The Prom, and a few others, but I just feel outside of the bottom, very bottom two, and I guess maybe like the very bottom four, three of those four, Frankie Goes to Hollywood, what the heck, I don't care about Take Off, and then Luft Balloons and Rapper's Delight, those three of those four could legitimately go very, very far, but they're not going to. They're going to get crushed in the first week, whatever you want to call it, first set of results.
Yeah, I don't have it going far. And Matt, you mentioned she likes the Patrick Swayze song from Dirty Dancing.
Yeah, She's Like the Wind.
Thank you. Which, you're right, it does go. And like I said, it might be better than I've had the time of my life. I want that to go far. That song to you, I go to the I liken that to my feelings on my thoughts on another song that's on the bottom left bracket, Force MD's Tender Love.
Mm-hmm.
That's very, very saccharine R&B hip hop sort of vocal. Like basically the Force MD's, if you took R&B, 80s R&B, hip hop, and doo-wop basically, and meld it together with the very beautiful, very saccharine but beautiful sort of ballad. That's what Tender Love is. One of the first songs I remember listening to as a kid. But I have it advancing to the second round, but losing to the Chariots of Fire song. But I wouldn't be surprised if it loses to the Never Ending Story.
Okay, so I'm glad you mentioned Vangelis, because I was thinking about transitioning to it earlier, but Jeremy mentioned it sort of at the onset that songs from movies and TV seem to have a much bigger presence in this bracket than in years past. And that's true of both Vangelis with the theme from Chariots of Fire and with Lamal with the song from The Neverending Story.
Right. And also, real quick,
very different things.
And also, did you know? I'm sorry, I mean to cut you off, Matt, real quick. Didn't want to get to your point. Force the Tender Love song, it's part of the soundtrack to, I forgot the name of the movie, maybe Breakin'. I know it was on Dragnet, the 87 Dragnet. I believe so. I think so. You might fact check me. I remember hearing on Dragnet, but I know it was on the soundtrack to either what's that movie? Crush Groove. That's it. And it was one of those movies. Remember hearing it on Dragnet. So you're right to get to your point. There's a lot of from those movies. So you got it.
And those have weight. There's reasons why certain random songs chart well after. In fact, it's a super popular movie. Everybody goes streams it or buys it, however you get your music. It's like, how did this get in the top 100 after being 20 years ago? Because, like, what was it? Mariah Carey's Christmas song finally got number one after how many years? A couple years ago? Like, that's wild to think about. It took how long to get her number one for All I Want for Christmas?
That just got to number one?
Recently, within the past couple of years, first time ever, number one. During, obviously, Christmas time.
Oh.
But it's weird. This song's been out for a long time, and it's very popular to always listen to, but never apparently got the top spot during this time.
Well, it's like you said, like you, either you or Matt said it, you know, some of the things you like, nobody like, not a whole lot of people like. The things you don't like, everybody likes.
Yeah. It's weird.
But, so let me ask you, Brandon, was there a particular first round matchup that you were like, this is a brutal matchup in round one?
Oh, I had several. The Perfect Way song versus Pump Up the Volume. I had none of the, you know, in the vein of Bruce Willis, in the vein of why is this actor trying to sing? Tracy Ullman's They Don't Know, which was a cover. Mm-hmm. Going up against Big Country's In a Big Country. Basically that top left hand bracket, with the exception of maybe the 7-10-2-15, I think I had a hard time going. I think we mentioned, you know, Nina and Sugar Hill Gang and Lip Sync to the Butt. But that top, specifically that top left hand corner, for the exception of the 7-10 and 2-15, I was just like, how do I? I gotta pick these. Yeah. I didn't want to pick this, but I just didn't know the Afternoon Delight song. I did not want to pick Bobby McFerrin's Don't Worry, Be Happy to go far, but it is, for me at least. Larry Carlton, great guitarist. Yeah, you know, that's an easy one, but everything else was just that. But that top left hand bracket, just I had to flip a coin just to leave it to you like that.
Okay, so maybe that makes for another useful transition, because it feels like no bracket conversation is complete without talking about the 5-12 matchups.
So, oh, of course.
So in the top left, you've got Soft Cell with Tainted Love versus Roseanne Cash with 7-Year Ache. So you're saying that was a tough one?
Oh, no, I went with Soft Cell. I had Tainted Love going to the final four.
Me too, clearly. Yes, that's a easy one.
Yeah. Okay.
Next.
Yeah.
So then in the bottom left, 5-12, you have Derek Commissar from After the Fire versus Jennifer Holliday's And I Am Telling You I'm Not Going. Two wildly different songs that I honestly didn't know a whole lot about.
Oh, I saw that and it was like, wow, you really went with that matchup. Because you're right, Matt. They're two, Derek Commissar, After the Fire, and then Jennifer Holliday, and I'm telling you, basically, it's from Dreamgirls, the Broadway play. That was a movie. From that, and it was like, wow, that's, you can't get no rank. They pulled some deep ones, you know. But as much as I love Jennifer Holliday, you know, she's great in that song, great doing the that Foreigner song, I Don't Know What Love Is, I had to go with Derek Commissar. Also because I don't think people know that song from Dreamgirls, maybe.
Bottom right, we mentioned it sort of in passing already, you know, the Scandal featuring Patti Smith with The Warrior versus Don Williams, I Believe in You. What? Interesting, Don Williams, was that like the only country song in the entire bracket?
Probably.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
There's like 64 songs here, people. I don't know every single one.
It felt like
listen to them all, but I'm just saying it's like hard to remember.
If memory serves, that was one that was, it was very much like a throwback to old school style country music.
Yeah, that's kind of like how I've, no, right, it very, like this could have been done in 1967.
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm not bidding against Patti Smith personally.
No.
And then top maybe right, we mentioned Rush.
No, I'm playing Don Blame just so people know for a moment here, just to hear what this was. Oh my goodness. That's
is it not working?
No, it's playing. It's very soft.
Oh, it is.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
I don't believe in superstars, organic food, and foreign cars.
What is this?
Wow.
Maybe this song was made in 2017.
Okay. A lot going on there.
That's why lyrics, some people are like, oh, the music. I'm like, did you hear what it's saying? Huh. Did you not listen to the words? Like, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then the last 5-12 matchup in the top right, you know, we mentioned Rush with New World, man. We did not mention the 5 seed in that bracket, which I feel is a very interesting dark horse candidate, Edie Brickell and the New Bohemians with What I Am.
It's a great song. I had to win it.
Really?
I like it. Yeah.
Yeah,
is this attack against me music? What's going on here?
I did not have it. I mean, I get when you say winning, are you talking about like that matchup or have making a deep run?
Or me? I had to go into the Sweet 16.
Because I think, you know, one of the other questions I had, which, you know, one of the things that tends to come up in most, if not all, of these tournaments is you sometimes get involvement from the musical artists that are like drumming up their fan support on social media and things like that. And what's really interesting about this bracket is, you know, the 13 seed that Edie Brickell and the New Bohemians might be facing in round two, and that's Kate Bush running up that hill, which, as you may recall, listeners may recall, got a huge boost in popularity last year when it was featured in the most recent season of Stranger Things on Netflix. So
yep, right here,
I'm curious about whether you both believe that might have an influence on Kate Bush's viability in this tournament.
Yeah. I'm betting it charted when it came out, and Stranger Things.
It absolutely charted.
Yeah, I could see. I mean, I could see a scenario. I mean, we said it at the top, a 16 seeds have won, so it wouldn't surprise me. And I'm, you know, no fan of Stranger Things, not because I hate Stranger Things, just, you know, a lot of TV got to catch up on.
I tried, wasn't a fan. I tried.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then I'm not alone because it just doesn't seem like something I would get into. But I could see a scenario where, you know, someone like Kate Bush make, you know, beats Axel F, you know, and Axel F is, you know, being the Beverly Hills Cop, and then making that run. But I could see it beat, I mean, wouldn't shock me if it beats I've Had the Time of My Life, which we all think is the runaway to win that, to win that side of the bracket, even over Easy Lover. So.
Mm-hmm. It's like the pop culture thing. Movie, what has long lasting shelf life?
Right.
You've heard over. Oh, I know this song. Like, you know what I like about What I Am? It doesn't sound like an '80s song.
Yeah. Which song?
What I Am. That's,
oh yeah, yeah. That's right. That's why I like it, because it just
it's one of the last songs on that list of 274. It came out in 1989 and peaked in March of that year.
Perfect timing. They're getting ready for the '90s, which it sounds. Most likely it fit perfectly in, which it did for a bit, but and that's it. And it's a song you hear not as much as in like movies or commercials or whatever, but you hear occasionally in movies here and there. It's not as popular, like The Time of Our Life, or Time of My Life. It's obviously Dirty Dancing, and it's remade anytime it's played. If you've watched, it shows up in they do the dance in How I Met Your Mother. I don't think they play the song. And then it was it Crazy Stupid Love with Ryan Gosling and what Emma Stone did, do that thing. It's like anytime that song's played, it's because they're doing the move from Dirty Dancing. And that's the only time you do that song. You know, you rarely ever play it for anything else.
Or maybe you, or graduation
or something. Yeah. But it's like, it's tied to that particular moment in time. It's not by itself where all these other songs will be played. They're great movie songs because they fit. That's because it fits with not just a movie or a time, but actual scene in a particular movie at minute mark, whatever.
Right. Family Guy was on. I think it was on Family Guy, the Star Wars episode.
They all do it.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why it could go pretty far, and it will go far.
Oh yeah.
So what do we got for our final four? I think we're time to move on there. Is that a good placement? Or we got more bracket banter to get to?
No, I'm down with the final four.
Yeah, I'm good. We'll go to the final four.
All right, Matt, what's your top left final four participant?
Okay, so I know that you were not a fan, I believe, Jeremy, of Dexy's Midnight Runners.
But not as much.
I have them coming out of that region. I'm defying the past precedents and picking Come On Eileen.
That's that's a tough bracket. Top left, that's very difficult. Who would you go with, Brandon?
Yes.
Out of that bracket, I went with Tainted Love. I have Tainted Love beating Come On Eileen in a Sweet 16. I had Tainted Love beating Genius of Love. I feel Genius of Love is going to make a deep run, especially if it beats Don't Worry, Be Happy. Come on, people. It was a bad song in 1988.
Yeah.
It's not aged with time. Like, you know a song is bad if you're 7 years old and you like turn this off.
It's so cheesy.
Yeah. But I have Tainted Love beating Genius of Love to get to the final, to the that top left-hand bracket side of the final four.
Yeah. I'll mention real quick, Jeremy. I have Dexy's Midnight Runners over Big Country.
Okay, good.
Not a fan of Big Countries in a Big Country. Love that song.
I also have Tainted Love going far. I've Come On Eileen losing to Pump Up the Volume, because that's a good song.
Yeah.
Over Genius of Love, same with you, Brandon. Tainted Love over Genius of Love. All right, bottom left, I will go. This one, you get Tarzan, whatever. She blinded me. Yeah, Tender Love and It Takes Two. I go with It Takes Two, just because it's super popular in every particular way, and that's why it's going to go that far. And it's not like my favorite song. Like, if I'm kind of doing what Brandon mentioned, it's kind of what do I think and what maybe the people think. I think that's a chance it could go, but it's a 16 seed, man. I think it's going to be the one that goes the farthest of those low bracket, of low numbers.
Brandon, what about you?
I have to concur with Matt. I have to concur with you, Jeremy. I have It Heck Takes Two going final four. I just, like we talked about all during the whole show, I feel like it's going to be a song that people don't stick to. I have it beating Tarzan Boy and beating She Blinded Me with Science. Mm-hmm. And then I have Georgia Satellites making the Elite Eight. I have a good feeling about that song doing something. I've beaten Timbuk3 and Vangelis. And It Takes Two winning out. It'll be my 16th seed to make the final four. On that,
it's also a cheesy song, but still, it's like it's one that, okay, it's a dance song. People like it. I think that's why they'll get going.
Which one? Georgia Satellites?
No, It Takes Two.
It Takes Two. Yeah, but it's still, you still rap to it. It's great.
Yes. What do you got, Matt?
I kind of surprised myself here. I ended up picking Vangelis.
Okay. Why is that?
The theme of Chariots of Fire. Because I don't feel like it has the easiest path out of the bottom of that side of the bracket. Like, it would not shock me if it got tripped up by the Neverending Story. It would not shock me if it got tripped up by the Georgia Satellites.
No, Neverending Story thing. No, get out of here.
You underestimate how many people our age love the Neverending Story.
It's terrible.
I never watched it.
Good. Don't.
I never watched it.
Don't. It's awful.
I wasn't into. But go ahead, Matt.
No, but I have Vangelis emerging out of that region over Thomas Dolby's She Blinded Me with Science. And we haven't really talked about it, but I'll just mention briefly. I do think that song is a very dangerous four seed.
Yeah. Oh, I could agree with that. Over even more dangerous than, well, you, yeah, I was going to say Axel left, but yeah.
All right. So you want me to start off with top right?
Sure. Top right. Yes. What do you got?
Okay. So I used a little bit of my brain and mostly my heart with this one.
Funky time.
not quite.
He used the butt?
I'm rolling with the Easy Lover over I've Had the Time of My Life.
Interesting. Okay.
I fully acknowledge that this may just be a blind spot, but I love that song. I have that song on rotation regularly. I listen to it outside of this tournament. I strongly believe in its ability to make a deep run.
I think it's all, I won't say my demo. I won't get to my joke about Funky Town, but I could see that making a run just because of similar to It Takes Two, similar with It Takes Two. But there can only be one, and it's not going to be Funky Town. I'm going with Cars to make it that far. Gary Newman.
Over which one?
Oh, sorry. Over Had the Time of My Life.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Duke can't always win it. Sorry, Dirty Dancing.
All right. Well, I guess it's my turn.
Yes, it is. You're third on the list here.
Yeah. Well, I know. There's not a fourth? Get out of here. I wanted to go with Easy Lover. My heart wants Easy Lover to win that side of the bracket. I Had the Time of My Life to win it.
One of us had to pick it, man.
It's an objectively good song.
I guess. but it's just, there's a, like we said, that song is played everywhere. Yeah. It was probably a graduation song. It was the finalist for my class graduation, and they went with the Green Day song.
It's too much.
Which one? The
Time of My Life. I'm just saying that.
You're talking about Good Riddance.
Yeah,
the official title. Apologies.
Yeah, don't let the Green Day fans might come after us.
I like Green Day, but I'm like that song. It's fine, but
no, that song is bad. We can move on.
Yeah,
it's too cliche. That's the point.
Right, and it's not a very happy song. You know, graduation's supposed to be happy, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, listen to the lyrics, folks.
Yeah, thank you. I've Had the Time of My Life. I think that's just gonna win. I have that going up against Easy Lover in the final eight, and Duke will win. I Had the Time of My Life.
All right, what about bottom right, gentlemen?
Matt, before we get to that, when's last, do you have it offhand? I can give my stuff away, look it up, and you can go third here. When's the last time, has the number one seed ever won this whole thing?
I don't believe so. No.
So we're betting on it. Well, some people are.
Man won last year as a 12 seed. 2 years ago, it was a 16 seed. 2020 was a 14 seed. 2019 was, a 13 seed. 2018 was a 13 seed. 2017 was a 16 seed. 2016 was, I believe, I have to go a little deeper to look that up. Top seeds, like I said, don't tend to last very long in these tournaments. It was a 7 seed in 2016.
Gotcha.
So we shouldn't be shocked if Living in a Box by Living in a Box wins it all then.
There you go.
Bottom right, as I called, not great. You guys convinced me it's just okay. It's better than okay. But I'm going with 99 Love Balloons to win it all. In that bracket, I should say, in that particular area. I have it over. Let's see. It's My Life, which that could be one too that can make a big move, I believe, because that's a very good version. Or they're the best version, I should say. I got The Promise going a bit, but I'm going with the, maybe because more of my taste in music to that degree, so that's who I'm going with to make it to the final four, the bottom right. And I still think whoever wins the 2 or 15 out of that or Rapper's Delight is probably going to go the distance in this bracket.
Brendan?
I'm going to go Relax by Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
That's the other one, yeah.
And that's a 7 seed, and you had a 7 seed win it. In the sense of formation of this wonderful tournament. It's a gut feeling just with Relax. I don't see We Are the World surviving out of the round of 32.
It better lose the first round.
Come on, Marshall Crenshaw fans. You pull through. But I see that song losing to The Promise. I have The Promise making it to the Elite Eight before losing to Relax. It's just a feeling. But I wouldn't be surprised if The Promise
makes it. That's the exact Elite Eight I have, too.
Yeah. Wouldn't be surprised if The Promise wins. Because I think that song was on Napoleon Dynamite, right? The end of Napoleon Dynamite? No, the Promise.
I think you're right, yeah.
I think it was at the end of it. So, you know, 20-year-old movie. People like Napoleon Dynamite. You know.
Yeah, hey, I'm joking. It's a my former roommate was an actor in that movie, and he plays the exact part in the movie as he does in real life, a big fat jerk. I probably mentioned that before. Have you both seen the movie, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's a solid movie. So you know the guy, like, it's what it is. It's the, you know, the blonde guy who acts like a jerk, kind of like aloof.
Yeah,
that dude. That's exactly how it's in real life. Just saying, like, oh, get out of here. Oh boy. So there's that. Who's winning the whole thing now? So who's winning the whole thing? Who do you got?
I was gonna say Uncle Rico was throwing the ball like he's a quarterback for the Wyoming Cowboys. So.
No, he could actually throw the ball, so no, I would disagree with that.
Really? Really?
Better than Andrew Peasley? Come on, yes.
I don't know. I don't know about all that.
Guess what? Neither are good, so there's that.
Yeah. All right,
who's in your Brandon, who's in your final two? Your championship and winner?
I have Tainted Love and Relax. Tainted Love wins.
Oh, good choice. Tainted Love.
Again, I'm ready for I'm ready for Living in the Box. I'm ready for Living in the Box to win it.
You mean the UN world, the world, we know the world's going to win it all.
Oh, no. No, that would be like Duke winning it all. Or Kansas going back to back. I don't want them to go back to back.
Boom, boom. What do you got, Matt?
I've got Frankie Goes to Hollywood over Dexy's Midnight Runners.
You got Relax winning the whole thing.
That's right.
I don't think we've played it, so we'll play it for a second here.
Okay.
Does it take a minute to get to the song, right? Is it one of those?
It's got a little bit of a slow build up, yeah.
But it's worth it. Still worth it.
There it is. Boom.
But say, so you just close your eyes for like 15 seconds and you just let that song wash over you. You're like, okay, yeah, I understand why it was so big in 1985 or whatever.
Yeah.
It has everything I mentioned about 80s. Synthesizer, echo-ness, singing in a...
Again, a product of its time.
It is.
But a well-refined product of its time.
Dated, yes, but very good dated.
Dated, very produced for 1980s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it,
what about you, Jeremy? What do you got?
It cuts through.
My championship matchup, Tainted Love. Me and Brandon have a lot of the same picks. It looks like we seems like when we do this, as far as I can recall, from memory, it's been a minute. We have a lot of the same taste here in music, it seems like, which is great. Yeah. Tainted Love versus 99 Luft Balloons, and I'm going with the German song to win it all because I think it's great. And it, as I start to... Come on, who doesn't like this?
Well, if it's the German version, I heard the English. I'm not here for the English version.
The Goldfinger version? Not even that one?
Apparently
on Spotify here, it tells me there's two versions. There's it of, oh no, I guess, sorry. Oh no, there's only one ever. Sorry, it has a couple of the same band, the same version of these guys. See, here's your 80s stuff you want right here. Boom, 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 boom. And I picked them to win it all. But I do think the most 80s song is Matt's song, picking to win the most 80s of them all.
Yeah.
Oh, Tainted Love?
No, I draw Relax.
Relax. Yeah.
They're close. Mine's the least of the 80s type. But they're, Tainted Love is right there. I think, Frank, just slightly more, just a little bit more.
I'll put it like this. Without Tainted Love, you know, is the gateway to Relax.
There you go. Yeah, maybe they're not too far
think
off.
About it. Yeah.
They're the cousins here. Matt, how do we pick next year's songs? How do we get involved? I want to make a suggestion.
I don't think we as listeners, as readers have any choice in that matter. That is entirely up to the selection committee. I don't know that they've even announced yet what 2024 is going to bring.
On their website, they do have Enter the Lottery, but it has last year's stuff in there right now.
Yeah, so they'll probably update it at some point later this spring. But in the meantime, if you hear this podcast and you want to submit your own bracket, we'll put this out on social media as well. at mwwire.com. But you can fill out your own bracket. You can email it to marchxness@thediagram.com. And you can win bragging rights. And if it's anything like it was and my wife won a couple of years ago, there may be a prize involved.
So it's marchxness@thediagram.com?
Yes.
I'm typing that now because I just filled out my bracket as it went. I finalized as we're talking here. So I want more feedback. Because here's the thing, people. This is so weird. You can throw darts, be fine. You can flip a coin. You can have your animal, when you play the music, see which one it enjoys more and goes toward. You could do whatever you want, and it could have a chance to win. It's just have fun. There's a playlist on Spotify that I think it has. I don't think it had every song, but it
has overall all but like one or two of them, couple. I believe.
Yeah, there's a couple that were on there, but just listen to it. Driving around, working out. There's a couple songs like Pac-Man Fever. You may just fast forward, or those instrumental songs. But it's interesting. Let's do one last thing in the bracket. What's a dark horse that – what do we think the public's going to pick on here? Is it just simple to be – because we've had a lot of lower seeds win the whole thing, obviously, a couple of 16 seeds. Like the overwhelming favorite has to be It's the Time of Our Life. I think that's like number one, number one.
I think you're right.
What do you guys think like might be kind of like a dark horse that might surprise – I know I'm trying to go through the bracket because think about the songs, what they were listening to. We went through these to kind of hit or miss, just whatever, however listened to it, we did. It takes time to go through all this. But what's like a song? Could it be, I don't know, what's a out there song that you think could make a deep run and win?
I think Cars by Gary Newman.
Oh, yeah. That category.
Just, it's sort of in that same vein as I've Had the Time of My Life. Just, you know the song, you know, if it wasn't done in commercials or covered or Conan O'Brien all those years ago, that just seems like it's a song everybody knows. I started to say Genius of Love, but I think people wouldn't know who the Tom Tom Club is unless you just, you know, like Matt myself real into it. But I would say Cars by Gary Newman.
Yeah, what am I thinking about?
My earlier point about She Blinded Me with Science from Thomas Dolby. Okay.
Go for it. I can see It's My Life because people have No Doubt. And they may, oh, I've heard that song before. Even though that song's still, what, 20 years old at this point now, right? Something like that.
We'll say that.
There's a familiarity to it. If people actually listen to it, like, oh, yeah, I do remember that song. So I think that could be a possibility. If We're All the World was more than two, I'm going to do something crazy. I don't know what I'm gonna do. That's something to watch for. But I would say It's My Life could be interesting. Or actually, you know, it might be weird. No, I'm not gonna say it because that's not gonna happen. No way. Sorry, I was gonna say something stupid.
Well, now you have to.
Do I have to, guys? Okay,
go ahead.
This song is so weird. It's catchy over and over. If people actually listen to it, I could see it's a horse. I could see putting on the Ritz going a couple rounds, but not winning. Because it sounds familiar because this is a total ripoff of another song.
Yeah,
but it has Tainted Love in round two, and that's no way it's going to beat it. But like, there's a chance with some people like, well, this is a little just thinking outside the box a little bit. It's like, I like this for a different reason because maybe they don't like Marilyn Manson singing Tainted Love or whoever else is. It's been remade so many times. Like, I'm over the songs. I hear it too much. This one sounds just a bit different. That's because fair. It doesn't really sound like too much of an 80s song. It's almost like a show tune song to a degree. So it's kind of different enough to move on because you're contrarian.
It's like you said, it's Broadway meets, well, it's a standard, putting on the Ritz.
So but think about Tainted Love, Pump Up the Volume. There's too many good songs to get past if it's going to.
Like I would say, out of that bracket, if you just want to get crazy with it, and taking the Genius of Love out of it, Big Country's in a Big Country. You know, that sort of, I wouldn't call it kitsch, but, you know, it has sort of that big 80s sound, with minus the synthesizers.
Yeah.
So it just sort of has that novelty of it, you know. Same way with, you know, Living in a Box by Living in a Box.
Exactly. So, Matt, let's wrap up here. How do they vote and be involved in this? And they could read essays to all these songs as well, because people got dive deep in this stuff. This stuff starts in August to get going.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So you can follow March Exodus on Twitter and Instagram at March Exodus. They start the Twitter poll at 9 a.m. Arizona time, which I think is an hour ahead of us at this point here in California. A couple hours behind Brandon out there in Florida.
However, so all the time change. Hold on, time change is coming too, so be careful for that. I think that goes over this bracket too. So just check every morning. Just check in the morning when you wake up.
Four matchups a day beginning on March 1st, beginning at 9 a.m. sharp that local time. Continue all month long. So you can go to Twitter. You can also go to the website, which again is marchexness.com, and you can vote in both places and spread the word.
We will put on our Twitter account as well, because I know Matt will be like, retweet, so this is not their vote. Retweet, vote.
Yes. And whatever you do, listeners, don't vote for We Are the World.
Yeah, just don't.
Okay, let's put it this way, for our Mountain West listeners, it'll be almost as exciting as the Mountain West men's basketball tournament.
The whole thing possibly. That's going to be wild in like 2 weeks. Can we downvote like Reddit? Is there a possibility to negative vote We Are the World?
I don't think that's possible.
Well, it should.
I definitely agree, Brandon.
Yeah, where do I suggestion box.
Can we add that? They should have their own Reddit page. Why do they not have a Reddit subreddit on this? This would be an ideal spot to do that too, right?
It's a good question.
That's my 2024 tip for you guys in March Exodus.
There you go.
How many, honestly, who does this every year for their, I know there's other people who discuss this, like, but there's not many to do what we're doing here for the bracket to help spread the word and have some fun and screw around. Not many people. And we take this mostly seriously.
You know what? Honestly, we're probably the only people outside of the literary world talking about it and taking it as seriously.
Content you can't get nowhere else.
That's exactly true.
This is bracket stuff mixed with music. It has almost anything but anybody wants. You want to pick a bracket? Great. You'll see all the brackets come out next couple weeks about everything. Movies, TV shows, music, obviously. We've got music. People love music. Brackets. People like 80s music. This is weird 80s music. Mixed it with popular movies 80s music. It has everything. It's great. Just hope everybody enjoyed this and had, if you just like, what's going on here? Like a little bit different personality of what we're doing here to a degree, but it's fun. And so vote, check it out. MWWire.com. MWCWire Twitter. We'll be posting stuff on there. And any final words, guys, before we wrap it up here? Cause it's been about an hour plus here.
Again, don't vote for We Are the World.
I knew that was going to be it. Don't vote. All right. That's our song. Don't vote for We Are the World. Vote for everything else. And also, hey, one last thing, honestly, very, very last thing. If you submit a bracket, tag us on Twitter with it so we can take a look and see where you're going. I'll post mine as well as soon as I get this finished up here, downloaded, and just make sure I got everything done. But yeah, send us your bracket too if you're interested, and email those guys at marchexness@thediagram.com. Is that correct, Matt?
Yes.
All right, and check us out at mwwire.com. We will have more football sports content coming up down the road, as we always do. Next podcast, yeah, we'll figure something out. But, yeah, hope you enjoyed this particular one-off episode, and we'll see you next time.